If you wish to follow along, turn to the Song of Solomon. God willing, we're not done yet with the Song of Solomon. I still have at least one more passage, but there may be more. So, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Same text that we have been in for the past couple Sundays. Let me begin reading in verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As, and then here is my text, as the lily among thorns.
Amen.
That's my text for this morning. The lily among thorns. My title is that. The lily among thorns. Think about this. When the all-wise, almighty Creator came to earth, He did not come as a wise old sage with His legs crossed, doling out advice and counsel to men and women, did He?
You're right.
Neither did He come as a mighty warrior with sword in hand, ushering forth the justice of God.
You're right.
Did He?
No.
No. The prophet had declared that He would grow up as a tender plant. Think about it. Omnipotent deity was born infant. Think about that. Omnipotent deity was born infant, born in pain and sweat and blood. Omnipotent deity was born in a stable, wrapped not in the royal cloths of dignity, but wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
And He was laid in a feeding trough.
Yeah.
That's what He was, laid in a feeding trough. There is no question that Jesus Christ was the lily among thorns.
Amen.
In that day, some came from the east to bestow upon this one great honor, and they came to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We read of that in one of the Gospels. But before His second year in the flesh, others sought to murder Him.
Mm-hmm.
An infant,
yeah.
A toddler, somewhere in between 0 and 2 years old,
yeah,
sought to murder Him. But then think about it. But He who drowned the ungodly in Noah's day.
Yes, sir.
He who drowned the ungodly in Noah's day. God drowned everyone. This God.
Yes, sir.
This God, this lily among thorns. Mm-hmm. This God drowned the whole world save for 8 people.
That's right.
And yet this God placed Himself under His Heavenly Father's providence and Joseph's protection.
That's right.
And Joseph, being warned in a dream about Herod's dastardly intent, He took him and fled with him down into Egypt. This is the God of all glory, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Truly, truly, He was the lily among thorns.
Amen.
Then, having returned to Nazareth after Herod's death, think of it. He whom the holy angels fly about His throne day and night crying, holy, holy, holy. Think about it. That very one. Day and night. Yet this one lived there in Nazareth in obscurity for another some 20 years.
Yes, sir.
The lily among thorns indeed. He worked carpentry. He attended synagogue. The angels, Mason, must have stood in awe at their Creator,
yeah,
the Creator, the Sovereign King of heaven and earth, working in a carpentry shop, going to synagogue for 20-some years, and was not even recognized among men. They must have stood in holy awe at their God now being the lily among thorns. What a thing. One day, He stood in the synagogue in His hometown, that very hometown of Nazareth.
Yes, sir.
And His neighbors wondered at His gracious words as He read from Holy Scripture. And the Scripture even acknowledges, they said, what gracious words.
Mm-hmm.
Until He explained those gracious words to these people. And once he began to explain the gracious words, and what were these gracious words that he began to speak? It was about sovereign election. It was about God Almighty showing mercy to whom he would show mercy.
Amen.
He used two examples, one of a woman and one of a man, and neither one were Israelites. And there were many widows and many lepers in Israel in that day, and yet God Almighty did not feed or cleanse a one of them. He cleansed a Gentile woman, and he cleansed a Gentile man.
That's right.
Amen. Some like to think they were upset simply because he mentioned these being Gentiles. But that's not so. That's not so. Remember Ruth?
Yes,
she was no Gentile. Was it? Remember Jonah, the prophet? He was sent to the city of Nineveh.
Yes,
that wasn't the real problem. The real problem is men and women by nature hate the free and sovereign electing grace of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
That's what it was all about. They said, oh, what gracious words. And men still do that today. You can read the Bible and they say, boy, wasn't that great. Take a Bible verse and put it up on your billboard to where your church building's at. I remember an individual one time quoted, had a scripture quote. And they met an individual in the store that he owned. And this lady said, I really liked the saying you all had on your church board. She said, he said, well, I put those up there. And she said, did you come up with that? That was so good. He was quoting the scripture.
Exactly.
Men and women will talk about the glory of the Bible, the glory of the scripture, until those scriptures are explained to them and declared for what they truly teach.
Yes, sir.
Think about it. Until he explained the grace that he was speaking about, then they sought to kill him.
Amen.
They physically laid hold of him,
yes,
drug him out of the city.
Amen.
Up unto a brow of the hill whereby they might cast him down headlong. And yet he who burned the cities of the plains,
yes,
in Lot's day. Think about that.
Yes, sir.
He who burned the cities and overthrew them with a great overthrow. What did he do? He simply passed through their midst.
Amen.
Think about that. Truly, truly, my brothers and sisters, he was the lily among thorns.
Amen.
Was he not the lily among thorns?
Yes, sir.
For another 3 years or so, he went about doing nothing but good.
Yes, sir.
He went about doing nothing but good. He healed the sick.
Yes.
Enabled the lame to walk. Even raised the dead.
Amen.
To life again.
Amen.
And everywhere he went about doing good, he did not just go do good, he also taught truth everywhere.
Amen.
He did not couch the truth, as we are often prone to do. He did not try to slip the truth in the back door, as we are often prone ourselves to do. He did good and preached truth. He preached what some call tough love. Telling people the truth in spite of themselves.
Exactly.
He preached truth. Yet men called him mad. They called him a blasphemer.
Oh, yeah.
They called him demon-possessed. They even called him a drunk.
That's right.
Didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They even called him a drunk. Most did not recognize him as the lily among thorns.
That's right.
Did they?
Right.
Most did not recognize him as the lily among thorns. But turn to John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. You know the passage. Most did not recognize him as the lily among thorns. But oh, thank God, some did.
Amen.
Thank God some did. But based upon what? Based upon their wise intuition? Based upon their fleshly ability? No. Look, this is what it says, John chapter 1. And it says of him, let's start in verse 10. He was in the world. Who was in the world? This one I've been talking about.
Yeah.
This one who drowned the world in the days of Noah. This one who rained down fire from heaven and destroyed the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, and a few others were indicated. This very one, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. One thing let's get for sure, none of us know him in and of ourselves.
Amen.
None of us know him by our own ability. And that's just not my opinion. John qualifies this for sure. Look, he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But, oh, isn't that a glorious thing?
Amen.
But, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, that is both right and ability, with the But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But did they believe because of something that they mustered up? Did they believe by their own ability? Did they believe by their own will?
No.
As so many in our day are prone to stress about human will. No. Which were born. Which lets me know they were born before they ever believed.
Sir.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? They are born of God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory.
Amen.
As a lily among thorns.
Amen.
Was He not? As a lily among thorns. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You ever had someone ask you, well, what really is the truth? What is your answer? Find out who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
And you'll see the truth.
Amen.
Well, what is grace really? Find out who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
And you will find out what grace is. Because, Joe, he is full
Amen.
Of grace and truth. Thus, if I want to know what grace and truth is, look to him.
Amen.
Look at him. Follow him. Trust him. Lean upon him. Think about it. He finally was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And was arraigned. And was falsely accused. And most everyone in the arraignment knew it.
Exactly.
Most everyone in the arraignment knew it. He was beaten. He was mocked. And remember, he even had a crown of what? Thorns.
There you go.
Yeah. Placed. And it wasn't just laid up there, David, right? I figure whoever that Roman soldier was took that crown of thorns, that round, and probably stuck it into his skull so hard that the thorns pierced into his bone. Beaten, mocked, and slain on a tree.
Yes, sir.
This is the one who slew the firstborn in Egypt.
That's right.
Yeah. Was he not?
Yes, sir.
This is the very God who slew little infants. If they were a firstborn and blood was not placed upon the doorpost and the lintel. This was the one who slew the firstborn in Egypt in Moses' day. And yet, at that very time, while they were doing this torture unto him, and it was torture, while they were doing this to him, he opened not his mouth in complaint against God.
That's right.
And more than that, nor did he open his mouth in retribution against man.
That's right.
Did he?
Amen.
He could have wiped the whole world out.
Amen.
Because of such murderous, treacherous deed.
That's right.
And yet, he opened not his mouth in complaint.
That's right.
In complaint. Do you see him as the lily among thorns? The lily among thorns indeed. Now turn with me to 1 Peter. Before I even say anything else to you about what I'm going to say, turn to 1 Peter and get to chapter 2. That is 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at probably the last few verses of that chapter. But before I read those verses, Let me say that every believer here this morning, and to every believer that may hear this message in any other venue, believer, see his example.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? See his example and never, never, oh, God, help us, never belittle it.
Exactly.
Hmm? Yeah. See his example. Look at it, 1 Peter 2, verse 21. We'll begin there. For even hereunto were ye called.
Yes, sir.
Now this is as much holy right, Mason, as Ephesians chapter 1 with all those deep and glorious, profound doctrines stress. Look at it. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example.
That's right.
Is that not what the book says?
That's what it says.
Yes, it does. Leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, what did he do? He had the right to destroy corrupt humanity.
Yes, sir.
Who, when he was reviled, what? Reviled not again. When he suffered, oh, then look at it. Look at it. When he suffered, he threatened not.
Amen.
Oh, David Wright, God help me. God help me. I do not stand before you this morning saying, I am your example. I am not your example. I am to be an ensample to you. But I am not your example. He is our example.
Amen.
Correct? Mm-hmm. He is our example. Look. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Oh, what such a natural thing it is for us when someone threatens us.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we suffer, rather, to do what? Threatened. No retribution, Joe, on his lips.
That's right.
But look at this. Even more than that, or I should say, crowned on top of that,
is this.
But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
This is not a statement that he knew God would get them fellas later on.
No.
This is a statement that he understood, that he reckoned it to be so, and committed himself to God even when he was tortured, that God was doing right.
Amen.
That God was doing right. That everything he suffered from the first, when he first came out of that wound, Joe, and had to be laid in a feeding trough.
Yes, sir.
When his life was sought after, and his stepdad, if you want to put it that way, had to flee with he and his mother down into Egypt. Even when he returned back to Nazareth, where he worked in absolute holiness for 20-some years, labored with his hands, probably, as one preacher said, had dirt under his fingernails. Well, had the stink of human sweat. And he did this for 20-some years in absolute holiness and absolute righteousness even before God's own holy law, and nobody caught it.
Exactly.
The angels had to stand in awe, Emily. They had to stand in awe at their Creator going through this. And then finally, he is murdered on a tree.
Yes, sir.
And through all of this, he commits himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
What God has, what God is, and what God will do to me is right.
Amen.
Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is, but what about that? What about that injustice? What God has, is, and will do to me is right.
Amen.
He's the judge of all the earth. He shall do right.
Amen.
When he creates good, now notice it didn't say he's going to do good. He didn't say he committed himself to him that does good. He said he committed himself to him that what? Judgeth what? Righteously.
Amen.
Not everything God does is good, because God said, I create good.
Mm-hmm.
I create evil.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
No matter what hardships are brought upon me, even through acts of injustice by man. God Almighty is in control of them.
Amen.
Our God, whom we serve, they cannot lift a tail, or wag a tail, I should say, or a dog cannot bark against us unless our God has sovereignly ordained it be so.
Exactly.
Amen. Notice Peter says, he does not say, rather I should say, he did not use the word he submitted. Although that's certainly true.
Yeah.
And the example for us is not merely to submit. Because how many times, Paul Pendleton, have I submitted, but I do it stoically?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
I do it stoically. Or I do it in as though God's purpose were some unwise, unpredictable fate. Huh? No, it says he committed himself.
Amen.
Do you see that? This shows a union with the Father that we only know in Him.
Yeah.
We only know in Him. And by His grace and His mercy and His compassion and the enablement of His Spirit and the lead of His Word, only then can we commit ourselves to Him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
Mm. But let us never forget that Jesus Christ was not just our example. Had this lily among thorns merely been nothing but an example to me of how I should conduct myself in this world, then I am found out to be a miserable failure.
Amen.
And so are you.
Yes, sir. That's
and
right.
So are you.
Amen.
Why? Look at the next phrase. Look at it. Verse 24. Who? Peter, being moved by the Spirit of God, could not stop with Christ as being our example.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Could not stop. An example he was.
Yes.
Our example he is.
Amen.
But how often do we not follow that example? We murmur.
Mm-hmm.
We complain.
Yeah.
And we complain about injustice. Well, isn't that the right thing to do? Not if you're committing yourself to Him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
Think about it. What did Job do? At least at first, what did Job do when all of that cumulative calamity had fallen upon him? What did he say? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. And oh, what will be, will be.
Not quite.
Mm-mm. That's not the way he responded. That may be submission, but it's not committing.
Exactly.
He said, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. We're talking about the death of his children even.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about acts of terrorism being committed against him.
Yes, sir.
Or at least his servants, his animals. And what did he say? What did he say? The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. And then here is committal. Blessed.
Yeah.
Blessed. Oh God, help me by your Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I didn't get what I want. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I was treated unjustly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I lost my job. I lost my house. I lost my spouse. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My family has forsaken me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had somebody shoot me the finger the other day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody said, that's silly. You remember old Shimei chunking rocks down on David? And one of David's men said, I'll go take that dead dog's head off. Did he not? What did David say? Let him alone. The Lord bid him curse. Do you hear the word? Not do you hear me. Do you hear the word? The Lord bid him curse. Let him curse. Right? That's committal to him that judgeth righteously. I dare say that there's not a one of us who sees Jesus Christ as the lily among thorns and looking at his example does not have to bow our heads in shame. Is that not true? to bow our heads in shame. But Christ is more than my example. Look, who? Here he is, moved by the Spirit of God. Not to ever, let's think about it. Most people know that Jesus Christ is not an example to everybody.
Yeah.
I would not suggest you go to someone who's been locked up as a serial killer and go to them and try to teach them that Jesus is their example.
Exactly.
Hmm? Yeah. But yet, everybody seems to think that Jesus died for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
That Jesus suffered for the sins of everybody. Who's he talking to? Who's Peter talking to here? Believers.
Amen.
Those people who have been born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh,
right,
not of the will of man, but they've been born of God. And he says to them, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree.
Amen.
That we, being dead to sin. So now you see who he's talking about. Whose sins did he bear?
Yeah.
In his own body on the tree. Those that will finally be this. That we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Amen.
Christ is more than our example.
Yes.
If all, I say this to anybody, am I here? Anybody hears this message anywhere else? If all Christ is to you as an example, you will perish in hell because you don't meet his example. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't. His example was absolute committal.
Amen.
Perfect committal. Absolute perfection. The God who drowned the world of the ungodly kept his mouth shut while they were lying about him. The God who burned the cities of the plains kept his mouth shut when they were hitting him with their fists.
That's right.
I dare say I could not do that.
Yeah.
But oh God, help me to.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
When push comes to shove, if that day were to come, whatever it might be, oh God, please help me to follow his example. Based upon what? The fact that I will fulfill that example? No! The fact that he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. So that, Mason, even when I do, I didn't say if, even when I do fail to follow in his steps, he has taken care of everything for me.
Amen.
Mason, he's answered all the problems. Even the problems of my failures in sin. Because it's the very that very thing. The main problem. My sin. He bore it in his own body on the tree.
Amen.
Mm. Do you see the lily among thorns? Huh? Do you see the lily among thorns? And what about right now? What about Jesus Christ right now? The lily among thorns? The lily among thorns? Well, at least in one way. Let me give you this. At least in one way. Think about this. His gospel is preached. His gospel has been preached all over this world.
Yeah.
It began there at Jerusalem and Mason. Over the past 2,000 years or so, it has spread over this whole globe. I dare say that there's not a place, at least in some general way, there's not a place today where the gospel's not been preached. There may be places now that the gospel's forgotten. The gospel is no longer preached, but the gospel's been preached everywhere. Think about it. His gospel is preached, and it reveals who he is.
Yes, sir.
This gospel that is being preached, Paula, is revealing this lily among thorns. Is it not? A glorious gospel. And see what men do. They mock it. They ridicule it. They hate it. They despise it. They try to twist it. They reject it, and you go on and on and on and on. And yet, he feeds them.
Yes, sir.
Clothes them. Gives them a house to live in. Lets them enjoy many of the bounties of his world. Does he not?
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us at one time were one of those people.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Every one of us at one time was one of those people.
That's exactly right.
Hmm. See what men do. See what I did. See what you did. Oh, without question, he is the lily among thorns. But let me sum it up, though. But do not confuse his great tenderness as weakness.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the God that drowned the world in Noah's day.
Yes, sir.
He is. That Jesus, that lily among thorns, is the God who drowned the world in Noah's day.
Yes, sir.
He is the God who rained fire down from heaven upon the cities of the plain and destroyed them with a great overthrow.
Yes, sir.
He is the God that passed through Egypt on that great night, and where there was no blood on the doorpost and the lintels, he killed every firstborn. From infancy, Mason, on up.
Amen.
From infancy on up. Do not confuse his great tenderness as weakness. Do not confuse his patience as frustration.
That's right.
You hear what I say?
Yeah.
Do not confuse his patience, his long suffering.
There you go. Yeah.
Do not confuse it as frustration. The lily among the thorns is your potter.
Amen.
The lily among the thorns is your potter.
Amen.
The lily among the thorns is my potter.
Amen.
And according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, this lily among thorns is the same one that he said these words about in Romans 9 verse 18. Therefore hath he. Who's he? This lily among thorns.
Yes, sir.
That's right. This lily among thorns. Don't confuse anything now.
That's right.
Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will,
yeah,
he hardeneth.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Amen.
And men say, that's not right. It is right.
Amen.
It is right. Do not give your human arguments against the Creator, against the potter. Look, Paul realizes men have not become totally depraved after John Calvin began to preach one of the 5 points of his doctrine. And I'm being facetious now. Look at what it says. Paul perceived men were this way even in his day, and we've been this way even ever since the fall of our father Adam.
Amen.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? And what does Paul philosophize? Does he try to then answer this and find the equilibrium so it's understandable to us all? That's not. He says, no! No, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?
Amen.
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter, here he is. Here he is.
Amen.
Here's the lily among thorns. He's also the potter. Hath not the potter power?
Amen.
That means both right. It means both. Somebody says, which does it mean, right or might? It means both.
Exactly.
Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? And the religionist who tries to profess Christianity says, oh, see there, what does that really mean? Paul tells us, what if God, willing to show his wrath?
Amen.
That's this lily among thorns.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
What if God, willing to show his wrath? He's willing to show it. Wrath
right.
is not love.
That's exactly right.
God's wrath is just hatred.
That's right. Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
God's wrath is just hatred.
Yeah.
Not malicious hatred.
Yeah.
Just hatred.
Yeah, exactly.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
Amen.
And, oh, if he just stopped there, it would be so depressing. Hmm? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Aren't you glad when he said, yeah, he said, whom I will, I harden. But aren't you glad that he said, oh, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen.
That's my only hope.
Yes, sir.
Is he has willed to have compassion on me. And if he has, Mason, he will.
Amen. Amen.
He will. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory.
Amen.
Even us, whom he hath called, not just amongst the Jews, but also amongst we Gentiles. You and I, folks, are in the sovereign hand of the potter, who is at the same time the lily among thorns.
Amen.
Oh God, help us, Lord. Help us to follow after his steps, Lord. Oh God, make us to commit to you. But oh God, thank you for that hope that we have, that true, gracious hope that we have, that our Lord Jesus Christ has bore our sins in his own body on the tree and fully satisfied all divine justice. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Amen.